Oh, let's get some intelligence into the studio. Sam Edmonds wandered in to give us...
I'm happy to put my hand up. Trav says that proof again, footy players have had too many training sessions, not enough schooling. I'm happy to put my hand up and say that I didn't concentrate nearly enough to the books. Gary, on the other hand, went to Melbourne High School, if you don't mind, a very academic school.
Thank you.
And that's where he learned about cadavers and lots of other things too.
Before Sammy goes, this is breaking news being reported this morning that approximately 2 weeks ago, have you across this? Is this your news?
Go ahead.
No. Former Australian Test cricketer Stuart McGill was abducted at gunpoint from Cremorne in Sydney and held for ransom. Police are currently raiding homes in relation to this alleged extortion. Let's just come off the wires.
Wow.
So anyway, Sammy, over to you, my friend.
Where do you want to start? Should we start with this deal for Christian Petracca at your old club, Melbourne, Gary? This is essentially a Brody Grundy deal in red and blue. 7 years, more than $900,000 a season. Now, Melbourne's form has played... Melbourne's form has played an enormous role in their signing spree. And in regards to Petracca, the Demons were on notice of sorts if you rewind to postseason last year. They'd obviously had two below-par seasons while Petracca's star was rising. So he's 25 now, and this contract was always going to be the big one. And as a player, I'd imagine you just want to see something substantial at the club you're at, Gary. It's a bit like the Clayton Oliver scenario. So Melbourne had to improve. The Petracca camp stressed that last year. They have... and they're absolutely flying. 7-0, it's a happy place to be. They've been working really hard to get Petracca's signature. When logic for the player perhaps would be to hold off, given he's contracted until the end of next year, could win the Brownlow this year. And I just wondered whether it was going to be another one of the Paul Connors, Robbie D'Orazio magic deals, like they struck for Josh Kelly and Andrew Gaff. Mid-2019, Kelly signed for two with a trigger for $8 and $1 million a season pre-COVID. And at the end of 2018, Gaff signed for two with a trigger for $4 more. Now, Petracca was due to become a free agent at the end of 2022, so a small extension, say, 2 years with a trigger for more, would have protected him if the club, heaven forbid, Gary, takes another nosedive. But that's not in place. It's a locked-in seven-year deal and a big one, as I say, of the like of Brody Grundy.
Wow. So he is obviously confident enough in the fact that Gawn's committed and that Salem's committed long-term.
So you got Oliver committed. Gawn, Salem, Viney, Ben Brown, James Harms, Lever extended as well. So there might be some overflow and departures at season's end of more your role-playing variety, I suppose, as a result, but that's okay. The star nucleus is locked in long-term.
Yeah, well, for Melbourne supporters, that would be great. Comfort, because there was always this talk, he's the target that Collingwood are after.
Yeah.
They've already got him, and Tony Shaw said he's a great fit, but ain't happening.
No, it's not happening, and the form speaks a lot to that. Hey, the AFLW competition committee as well, guys, met yesterday in what was a crucial sit-down to map out where the league goes from here, what it looks like, and when it's actually going to be held. So the committee's chaired by the AFL Commissioner Simone Wilkie. It includes Steve Hocking, Brendan Gale, Nicole Livingston, Mark Evans, and many others. Now, the four AFL clubs yet to be admitted into the women's competition, Sydney, Hawthorn, Essendon, and Port Adelaide, are all pushing to enter the league, particularly Hawthorn and Essendon, who are adamant they should be allowed to field a side next season. Jeff Kennett has actually said it would be discrimination of the worst kind, Gary, if the Hawks aren't granted entry for next season. He said, and I quote him here, "I cannot believe that we will not get approval." Well, yesterday, the committee was strong on there being no expansion, and they've put that recommendation to the commission. It's sounding like the gates will be locked on expansion in the short term. The commission will make a final decision on the structure next week. But I reckon this time next week, Jeff Kennett might have a few words to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. Did they put about, also talk about the timings of the competition and when it's going to run?
This was reported by Daniel Cherney a couple of days ago, pre-meeting. Brendan Gale in this meeting was particularly vocal and critical of the AFL over the workload and staff shortages at clubs, particularly after the AFLW and AFL season overlapped significantly earlier this year. So it now appears inevitable that the AFLW season starts earlier in December, as forecast, up against the cricket, up against the Australian Open. But it has at least more clear air from the AFL. It eases stretched club football departments after the soft cap reductions there. And in many cases, these clubs are horribly understaffed when they're juggling two programs. So I think that's the right result.
Very, very good. Anything else for us, Fairfield?
No, that's about it, Gary.
Can I just ask you a question without notice? Hayden Kennedy has stood down from his role. Background to why he's reached this decision at this time of the year?
There's said to be several reasons. Family reasons is the one that's been given publicly. I just wonder if there's some angst, and this has been reported as well, over the way the AFL now, no, don't make a weekly habit of it, but the way they apologise and admit and address the mistakes that might have been made, the glaring mistakes in games.
Right.
And also the new rules that have come in place and the demand that that places on umpires that have multiple layers to process in each and every decision they make.
That was the man on the mark rule that was said to be some angst about the way that was brought in.
Indeed. So it's probably a washing machine of reasons. Mm. But Gillon McLachlan is speaking today, actually, at 10:30. So we might have to ask the AFL boss what his thoughts on it were, because it has come out of the blue, Tim.
Mm. Great article in The Age from Wayne Campbell.
Yes,
about Hayden as well. So you get a great sense of what sort of man he is. What about the number of games he umpired, by the way? 495 VFL AFL games, 5 grand finals and 3 state of origin. So thank you, Hayden, on behalf of the footy world for your contributions. My story.
Yes, what happened?
Not really.
Again. Remember, this is deja vu. Wasn't there a case a year or two ago, Gary, where you held on to one for several months?
Yes.
And the text kept going, when are you going with this story?
That was my Alex Rance comeback story.
Yeah. You like to be right, though. You don't want to be first. You just want to be right, don't you?
That's right.
I'm backing you up here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do we need to put the feelers out for you?
I don't know whether I'll take you into my team of investigators just yet.
Not in the circle of trust.
No. Well, you are, but you're right in there, but this one's fit sensitive. Hey, thanks for coming on and providing us with that update.
Pleasure.
ACN Chief Sports Reporter Sam Edmund, who I believe hosted the Bowl Show. And some feedback here for you. Yeah. Let me just read this.
And did it without bias too, Gary.
Very impressive. Can you wait till I read it out before you go with your zinger?
Shocking.
Very impressive on the Bowl Show. He related really well to that genre and audience, I thought. Well done, Fieldy.
Well, that's very good.
He's done well.
Very nice feedback from that individual. Thank you.